Welcome to The Leadership File, your weekly show inspiring you to lead for Christ wherever you are. I'm Andy Peck, your host, thanking you for joining us. And whether you're listening live or one of the many thousands who listen via the podcast, it's great to have you along. If you're new to the show, a reminder that the show is available on demand via premierradio.com or via iTunes or Podbean. My aim with the shows is to provide a look at knowledge, skills and attitudes necessary for a Christian to lead so that God's work is advanced. So do continue to join us each week and see your leadership flourish under God's hand. To celebrate 700 shows, I have selected the best 6 shows from the archive for you in these next 6 weeks. And the first this week is by Trevor Waldock, the founding director of Emerging Leaders, a charity that works to help young leaders develop their leadership potential. He has a fresh take on leadership, which I believe you will find intriguing.
The Leadership File on Premier.
Welcome to The Leadership File, the show that aims to help the way you lead. I'm Andy Peck. Do you see yourself as a leader? You may be listening because you see yourself as a leader and this is The Leadership File and you've tuned in. Or you may have an interest because you like listening to leaders even if you would not place yourself in that category. You may have just dialed in to Premier because that's what you do. It's like the radio's on all the time. But today's guest suggests that everyone is a leader at some level of their life. So you may find that the way you define yourself may change in the next half hour. His name is Trevor Waldock and he's the founding director of Emerging Leaders, a charity that in its own words exists to bring tangible hope to vulnerable communities in Africa and the UK through leadership training. So welcome back, Trevor, to the Leadership Farm.
Thanks, Andy. Good to be here.
When you were last on the show, you mentioned Howard Gardner's definition of leadership.
Yes.
Howard Gardner's the professor of psychology at Harvard Graduate School of Education, author of 18 books, and he defines leadership as persons who by word and or personal example markedly influence the behaviour, thoughts and feelings of a significant number of their fellow human beings. What was it that captivated you? I'm going to unpack that in a minute.
But yes, sure. Well, so that's one version of his definition. In his book Leading Minds, he uses the word story, and that's what caught my attention, is this notion that leadership is the ability to create a story that affects the thoughts, feelings, and actions of others. And the reason why that caught my attention is everybody understands the notion of story. It doesn't matter whether you're 5 years old or 105 years old. It doesn't matter whether you're in the poorest or the richest countries in the world. Everyone understands the notion of story. So, of course, then there are two kinds of stories. There are imaginary stories, fantasy stories, the once upon a time stuff, which is great fun. But then there's another kind of story, and it's called a real story. So that's the story of my life, your life, everybody else's life in the world. So everybody in the world right now and who has lived is living a real story. It could be written down, probably won't be for most of us, but it could be. It's a real story. So if you take that definition then of leadership is the ability to create a story that will affect the thoughts, feelings, and actions of others, then the real issue of leadership is simply who has got the pen. Because if I don't have the pen, my story will still be written. It's just I won't write it. Other people will. Other forces, influences, relationships, powers, whatever, will want to write that story for me. So, and then if you look at leadership as in its elitist sense, which is how it's most often used, which is leadership is a position, it's a title. The pastor is a leader, the small group leader. So this is a position. So already we're saying some people are leaders and some people aren't. So what that would mean is some people get to write the story on behalf of others and some people get to be part of those stories. Well, immediately that disempowers the majority of the world, because you're saying actually my job on planet Earth is to help someone else write their story. And human history shows that power and self-interest are the two things that drive most unhelpful leadership. Power, how people use the power of their position for their own interest. And that's true as much of churches, religious organizations, secular organizations, political organizations, is people use their power and self-interest within that title of leadership to try and write their story using others. So I am a strong disagreeer of that whole view.
Sure, and that's informed the way in which in emerging leaders you've sought to train particularly younger people. Yes. in the African countries that you visited.
Sure. Well, emerging leaders started in Africa. We just started in the UK in the last year, and actually we will begin in India this year as well. But it came from actually being in the most challenged communities in the world. So I'm walking around communities that are devastated by HIV/AIDS, have all kinds of issues and challenges that most of us here will never have to deal with. And I'm thinking, well, how's this going to change? Now, normally, the one starting point is, well, there will be no change without leadership. There can't be any sustainable change without leadership. Well, that then supposes that the community leaders, the political leaders, the religious leaders are leading, are creating a story that affects the thoughts, feelings, and actions of others. But what if they're not? So that's where my mind was going, is how are these things going to change? How is this family where a grandma is looking after 9 AIDS orphans, how's it going to change for them? So that's what set me thinking. And I thought, well, actually, if this grandma doesn't lead her own family of 9 orphans, it's not going to change in that family. So everybody needs to be leading, not just some people. And once you do that, then you say, well, the job of the position of leadership is simply to train, equip, and empower leaders. Train, equip, empower people to write their story. And team leadership is, let's bring in a bunch of people who agree on the story that we want to write, and every one of us will be part of writing that story. So we're all story writers within an agreed bigger story. And obviously, you can easily argue that biblically is that God is writing a story, a big, big story. And what's he doing? He's inviting everyone in the world to become a writer of a story within a story. So the ultimate leadership is about empowering everyone to be a leader.
Right. And in terms of the people who've attended your course,
yes.
have you screened in it, anyone away from potentially?
We screen no one. I mean, I think with any kind of training, my basic screening thing is, look, if you don't want to be there, don't come. Because, you can't learn if you don't want to be there.
Yes.
But we've never, ever screened anyone.
Yeah.
On age, gender, religion, anything, we've never screened. We've just issued the invitation and said, you come and learn about leadership, which is an interesting thing because often they come with their own preconceptions about leadership, and they're the same as often Western preconceptions. Right. They will turn up to training on leadership saying to themselves, but I'm not really a leader. I'm interested, I'm intrigued, but it's not me. So the first transformational shock of the morning of day one is, oh my goodness, actually, he's saying I'm a leader. And that's where the journey begins, and we can talk a lot more about that journey. But so no, we've never screened
it. Mental health, not particularly an issue?
Well, that's always a difficult one to answer, isn't it? We have not screened on the basis of any issue.
Sure. Someone may decide they can't appropriate it, what they're hearing, perhaps.
Yes, I just, and this comes back to where all our programs start, it's around human potential. Mm. I think if you believe people can't, then they probably won't. But if you believe they can, then they will. You know, people have said to me with some of the stuff you teach, how on earth do you teach them that? I said, well, if you believe people can learn that, then do you know what? They generally can. It's about how, if you really understand something deeply, you can make it incredibly simple. Mm. And one of the problems about leadership is we've made it difficult. We've made it elitist. We've said you've got to go to university and do an MBA if you want to be a business leader. So we've taken it out of the domain of everyone and we've put it in this more elite domain. And it's an absolute nonsense because a principle is a principle. So if you understand that principle of leadership, actually, as our new program Lead Now demonstrates, you can teach it to a five-year-old.
Well, I mean, Howard Gardner himself says, you know, if you can't teach it to a five-year-old, maybe you haven't understood it.
Yes, you haven't understood it. And it is. It's the great line of Denzel Washington, wasn't it, in the film Philadelphia, where he always says, tell me like I'm a two-year-old. And I think that's what we should be saying to anybody in a position of leadership. Explain that to me like I'm a two-year-old, because that will tell me whether you, the leader, have actually understood it.
Sure. Okay. Well, we need to drill into this a little bit, because clearly I said to you off air that in 500 plus shows of the Leadership File, nobody's ever actually said that the language you've used, you know, that everyone has is a leader at some level of their life. I'm not sure you're not saying everyone could lead 1,000 people, but we are saying, you know, we all have a ability to write our own story. That is a human.
Yes, thing. I think the issue we get snagged up with is context and level. By context, I mean, can everyone lead in the political sphere? Can everyone lead in a business sphere? Can everyone lead in the artistic sphere? And the answer is, who knows? We don't know. But what we do know is this, is that many people arrive in positions of leadership who don't know how to lead. And I've worked with politicians, I've worked with business leaders, I've worked with lawyers, energy. I've worked with every sector as a consultant in leadership development. And time and time again, people are promoted on their technical ability, that they did something well, but actually suddenly they're now leading 100 people. And they don't know how to create vision. They don't know how to create a deep shared meaning and purpose behind that team. They don't know how to create strategy. They actually don't know how leaders think and what the core mindsets of leaders are. There's so many things people in positions of leadership don't know about leadership. So where then we suddenly bundle them off to a quick course on leadership. And it's the wrong way around. If we understand that leadership is for everyone, then those principles can be applied to every individual. You learn to start leading yourself, developing the mindsets, the skills of a leader. Then you can lead your relationships. Then you can lead smaller and larger groups of people. Then you arrive at bigger scenarios and you can then start leading bigger groups of people. But the issue is not the role that you're given, but have you developed the leadership muscle along the way? And I would argue you can start that from a very young age.
Well, you're listening to Leadership File with me, Andy Peck. I'm joined this week by Trevor Wardock. Trevor's the founding director of Emerging Leaders, and we'll be back just after this. Welcome back to Leadership File with me, Andy Peck. I'm joined this week by Trevor Wardock. Trevor's the founding director of Emerging Leaders, a charity that, in its own words, exists to bring tangible hope to vulnerable communities in Africa and the UK through leadership training. We're looking particularly at this whole concept that everyone is a leader at some level of their lives, and not so much challenging it, but unpacking this kind of idea a little bit. Because, Trevor, many leaders who are leading in churches or charities or even the business world have this model that their job is to kind of lead everybody else, maybe to create the vision which everyone else follows. And they want followers. They want followers to accomplish this vision that they've had. And they might be a little disturbed by some of the concepts that you've had. So perhaps you could unpack it. Perhaps say, for example, in a church context.
Sure.
Unpack the idea that if you're helping everyone to realise they're a leader, what does that mean? It all becomes chaotic.
Well, if we come back to the definition, leadership is the ability to create a story that affects the thoughts, feelings and actions of others. Then the issue then becomes, what's the story here? So I think there's a number of different answers to your question. The first is the view of leadership that you put forward that pastors may have, which is, look, I'm the leader and my job is to create a story and get everyone to come along with that. Where does that come from? If you take 3,000 years, more than that, of study of leadership, one of the things that becomes clear is that leadership does not exist for my benefit. It exists for the benefit of others. And if you then say, okay, well, if it exists for the benefit of others, what's the next thing I should look at? The next thing I should look at then is my character, who that leader is. Which brings us straight onto the issue of ego. So the biggest single factor that will defeat leadership is ego. This is about me and for me. And if I'm not seen to be leading, if people aren't following me, then I feel threatened. I feel I'm not succeeding. I'm not doing so well. Then I get insecure, and then I start treating people out of my insecurity, either that they'll like me more, or, you know, we break in relationships because we're saying, well, they're not really with us, are they, you know? So there's lots of ways that ego begins to pop its head up. So that, I think, is one of the biggest single factors that defeats good leadership. And I think, you know, clearly Jesus' teaching on leadership, what does he talk about? He talks about the ego. It's exactly what he said. Look, before we even discuss this issue of leadership, let's talk about your ego. Who's this for? What's going on inside of you? So if any leader is not addressing that issue on a daily basis, then there's going to be problems. So where I would argue is that the leader's job is to liberate the leadership potential of everyone. That's their job. Otherwise, what are we saying? We're saying people are there for my benefit, for the benefit of my story. Well, what makes my story right? Let's agree on the story we want to write. You know, if you look at it from, again, a biblical point of view, there is, at one level, masses of latitude about what the story is, but there's a few clear parameters, which is, you know, is this dealing with orphans, widows? Is it dealing with the marginalized? Is it actually including everyone? So there are some clear parameters about this story. It needs to exist for everyone, not just some, absolutely everyone, regardless of race, religion, gender, or anything. It's for everyone. And it absolutely needs to include the most vulnerable and marginalized. But beyond that, it's okay. So we can agree what story we want to write within those parameters. And then the job of the person in the role of leadership is, okay, so why are we doing this? How are we going to do this? How can we all liberate that individual leadership potential so everybody's pen is put to work in writing this bigger story?
Yeah. No, it sounds all terrific. And I suppose the challenge is that many of those, in a church setting, are not used to this. So they're almost in a situation of passivity. And actually, the what you're saying actually has a challenge element to it as well.
Hmm.
Because if I'm being told what to do and what to believe, then I can just be obedient. If you're asking me to do some writing myself, then that means I need to express some energy to do some thinking, etc.
Yeah, it's a tough one because my blunt answer is as much to myself on a daily basis as someone who is leading every day. So in the role of position of leader as well as leading my own life is grow up.
Yeah.
You know, that's the blunt answer. I have to just say to myself, do you know what, Trevor? Grow up. Grow up. Get over yourself. This isn't about you. You know, because the factor that gets in the way of me empowering others is me growing up. So I think if you take those views of growing up from child to adult, then, you know, when a child is young, they need boundaries and parameters. Mm. So they kind of need the rules, but the rules are there for their protection and their safety. They are not there to disempower. They are there for protection. So it's quite likely that maybe when someone comes to faith, that actually they found it quite helpful to be in a place where when someone says, you know, this is good and that's not so good, this is helpful, that's good. But you wouldn't expect a child to stay there. You know, as someone once said, if your two-year-old says, can I go across the road to the park? You say, no, come with me, hold my hand. Mm. This is how we do it. We look left, we look right, and we take them across the road. If they're still asking you that when they're 18, you say, my goodness, you know, figure it out. So the job of the leader of a church is to help people grow up. Now, you're only going to be able to do that as the leader of a church if you yourself are growing up. So the only way we grow up is by massively investing in our own personal development. dealing with those insecurities, those parts of us that get a little bit worried, you know. And for me, a good model of that is if you read St. John of the Cross, Dark Night of the Soul. He says, you know, when someone comes to you and says, hey, you know, don't want to read my Bible anymore, dried up on praying, and this is hundreds of years ago, you know, the traditional kind of Christian answer would be, you know, something's wrong, something's terrible, you need to buckle down, do more, pray more, come on, you know, let's come up with a different Bible reading plan or whatever. Actually, what St. John of the Cross said was, wow, great. It's really great you've reached that place because it means something's shifting, something's growing, something's changing. So spiritual maturity requires us to keep on moving through the gear changes of our own emotional development if we are to develop spiritually. You can't separate the two. So it's interesting we're talking about this subject when we're talking about leadership, because actually this is the investment that a leader has to make, an organizational leader, a church leader has to make, if they are to take the role of empowering the leaders of others. You've got to do the work on yourself if you are to liberate the leadership potential right. in the people in your team.
Yeah, well, wonderful. And I mean, there will be parents listening. We talked about this this image of helping a child to develop themselves. Yeah. What would be some of the things you might encourage? Obviously, some of this is happening in the Lead Now program.
I think first of all is a belief in your child's potential. Every program that we run, whether it's for the children, the schools program, or young adults or adults, we always start with the issue of potential. We always talk about this is you. We give everybody we train a seed and talk about the potential within a seed. We actually put one in their hands. So I think even with children, it's to talk about their amazing potential. And once you start talking about potential, very, very quickly, you have to start talking about, well, what gets in the way? And of course, it's our thinking that actually blocks our potential, all of the different, what we call poverty mindsets, because poverty mindsets is not just that you've got an empty stomach, it's actually what's going on in your head keeps you small. So all our programs begin to unpack seven different ways that our thinking keeps us small. So you can start teaching that to children. Rather than saying, don't do this and don't do that, it's actually helping children to be thinking about what they're thinking. So that's the beauty of our Lead Now program with schools, is they've got pictures, wonderful pictures, that go with these principles. So you'll look at that and say, ah, yeah, that's me. I was doing that. When I said to myself, oh, I'm no good at this, I can't do that. Oh, that was one of those poverty thinking, isn't it? Okay, so, well, what if I said to myself, I could do that? I'll find a way. Let me try. And then now I'm shifting my mindset. All of this parents can teach their children.
Wonderful. This is, I think, going to be liberating for many people listening. Somewhat challenging, I suspect, because as I said, in 500 shows, we've not really dug into this, and it's been thrilling for me, you know, having enjoyed what you've said, to be able to unpack it a little bit more. So thank you for that. I'm not quite sure how to finish, in the sense that you know, it would probably take a long time to say to a leader listening, you know, that this is how you change a leader. Is there one thing that they could be doing, say, in the next week, that would just that might just change their mindset? They're used to being the leader at the top of the tree, and now how might they change the way they lead others?
Well, all transformation is based on awareness and responsibility. There's no change without awareness and responsibility. If I don't see things differently, I won't make different choices. So step one, I think, would be get hold of your journal. And I'm an absolute passionate believer that leaders should be journaling very consistently as part of this journey themselves. And write down what you honestly believe about your role as a leader. And I don't mean quote biblical passages or sayings from this book or that book. What do you honestly believe about leadership? Because until I confront within myself that I honestly believe that my job is to be the authority figure, and notice that word authority is author.
Yes.
Okay. So my job as a leader is an author. That's what I, you know, is to write a story. So somehow I have got to be involved in creating a compelling story that invites others to be story writers within a bigger story. But I think I would start by saying, what do you honestly believe about yourself and your role as a leader? For instance, I had dinner with someone the other night. We were in South Africa. I had dinner in Stellenbosch with someone, and he's a very, very senior leader. And one of the first things he said to me was around this conversation. He said, well, of course, you say this is leadership training for all these people. He said, but of course, everyone isn't a leader, are they? Which was red rag to a bull with me. But what I was thinking is, gosh, if you believe that everyone isn't a leader, that belief that you hold affects everybody in your organization. Have you thought about that, is what I was thinking. Because if he doesn't believe that everyone in his organization is a leader, then it affects how he will treat everybody in that organization, how he will invest in them. And what we've discovered, obviously, is once you start investing in the belief that everybody is a leader, guess what? Hey, you see that leadership blossom. So, yes, start with getting hold of your journal or something and look in the mirror. I think it probably starts there.
Wonderful. Well, Trevor, thank you so much for your insights.
Pleasure.
And
great
for
to see you again.
No, fantastic stuff. And do log on to Premier's own website, and you can look at archived versions of the Leadership Well, including this one, in due course. I look forward to your company again next Sunday at 3:30. Thanks for tuning in.
You've been listening to The Leadership File on Premier. Andy Peck serves as a tutor at CWR, a Christian charity whose courses and publications aim to apply God's word to everyday life. Contact him via email apeck@cwr.org.uk.
This is Andy Peck thanking you for joining us for this 6-part series. You can find all the regular archive material of The Leadership File by going to premierradio.com, iTunes or Podbean. You can email me comments at apeck@cwr.org.uk. The show broadcasts every week at 3:30. I look forward to your company next week for the next show in this special series, this time with Dallas Willard.